changes all around us. But imagine my surprise when I began my renewal leave in the middle of October. I did so by spending 8 days in Ontario, Canada. I was on silent retreat. And when I returned, I was surprised to find some major construction underway just off Guernsey Road down here from the church. It's a short commute, but I'm often slowed down and now treated to a great view of construction and change. There are backhoes and excavators moving dirt from here to there, machines that transform the landscape. And I wonder if this is how we relate to John the Baptist with this repentance, this literally being turned around. That's what repentance means, you see. Our sermon series continues this morning as we take our unpacking of the expectation of peace. Last week, we began to expect with hope that God is at work in our lives, changing our lives to be more like Jesus. This week, we hear the call to receive the Spirit's gifts of resiliency along with the fruits of the Spirit. Peace is what we are looking for. Those moments when we'd rather close the internet browser or turn off the TV rather than hear another story or another news headline, when we've had too much, when we've had a night's sleep that's been rested but not renewed, when we carry the loss of a loved one in our stomach as well as in our heart. Peace is more than the absence of war or conflict. It's the very gift of the Holy Spirit for each of us. The Holy Spirit gifts us also through this resilience. Resilience is a process of adapting well in the face of adversity or trauma, tragedy, or these sources of stress. I wonder if you relate to any of these. It's those family challenges or health worries or financial stressors. It's that bouncing back. It's the place in between. The emotional pain of those of many of us who've had challenges in life. In fact, the road to resilience is likely to involve that kind of distress. If you've listened to our prayers of the people, it's that we are coming back from. It's not a trait we do or don't have. It's what we are resilient through the Spirit. We can all have God's peace. This week in Pittsburgh, I wonder if you heard this story. The larger community gathered with the Tree of Life Synagogue to light together the menorah during the Hanukkah celebration. After the horrific shooting that happened, their community solidarity began to build this sort of resilience. One of the traditional songs became a community song. Go away, darkness, banish out the blackness, and go away in the face of life. It's peace that comes from resilience. When pain and heartache is around us, that's where we lean on the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to turn back to God's peace. In the midst of a world of division over political decisions and job losses, we find ourselves saying, where do we find peace? And we turn back to God. So as we looked at this nativity today, now covered with an awful lot of construction equipment, we might find ourselves asking the question, did we see John the Baptist in the midst of the nativity? When you set out your nativities, did you put out John the Baptist in the center of your nativity alongside the sweet, chubby-cheeked baby and the tender mother, often ready to hold the baby, the proud father? Where does the unruly man with the compulsion to bear fruits worthy of repentance fit? The man who's probably more at home with my orange cones and construction hat, who calls us to repent and turn around, going a different path. A prophet whose role is to set the stage for Jesus' public ministry. And yet, even though we don't put out his figurine, he has a place in the nativity, preparing room for change, the pathway for Christ. John preached repentance and following Christ, calling the people into an unknown territory, a place that nurtured questions. Now, I think many of us have been raised with an understanding that the place to ask questions, it feels a little bit like this, the place to ask questions is better kept in the quietness and stillness of our own company, if at all. Those whys and whens and hows are not really for faith-filled people. Elie Wiesel, the Jewish writer and Nobel Peace winner, says this story. His mother asked him the same question every day. Not what did you do or who did you play with, but did you ask a good question today? What would the church look like if we asked that question of our faith? Did you ask a good question today? The prophet Malachi that we heard Chris read for us today is one of the voices who reminds us that God invites us to ask those questions of our hearts. Where is the God of justice? How has God loved us? How can we stand before God? In fact, in all of Malachi, he asks 22 questions. He has a lot of questions to ask. I think more than one of us has had a season of asking questions of God, and with many more questions than there seems to be answers. Those can be times of resilience if we let the Holy Spirit walk alongside of us. In fact, if Advent, if we take this time of preparation seriously, it is a time of self-examination as well, allowing ourselves to prepare for the coming of Christ into the world. The words of the prophet Malachi find themselves not just in this reading, but in the larger story of our faith. If you've ever heard Handel's Messiah, in that larger story of the faith, an old legend tells of Handel's Messiah after the first singing of it, Handel was known to say, "I'd be sorry if I only entertained them with my music. I wished to make them better." We are made better, John Wesley said, when we move on to perfection, preparing ourselves for the coming of Christ, bearing the fruits of repentance, and sharing that with others. I know this peace can be a hard thing to find and an even harder thing to maintain. But we maintain it, my friends, when we do it with one another. We need one another to keep that peace alive. We need one another to show the signs of peace that we've seen in the midst of loss and in the midst of challenge, in the midst of difficult family situations. Anytime that our experience is different than we expected it to be. I speak this as one who keeps learning it. In fact, peace is at its heart something that involves not only our imagination, but the very Holy Spirit moving within us. Peace seems like an impossible concept to nail down and hold on to. And yet, it's as visible as John the Baptist's construction on Guernsey Road and the orange cones here at the Nativity, if we only train our eyes to be seeing it. Every time we read and hear unsettling news, every time our family or coworkers upset us, we may think that our peace has failed us. But that is the place where we experiment with how it is to participate in building Christ's peace. That's resilience. I believe that John the Baptist would agree with that. Peace allows us to patiently wait until the intangible becomes reality. You see, we find this as individuals, as communities, and as the larger body of Christ. This morning, friends, we have a great privilege. We have the privilege of baptizing little Ellie, who I imagine is being rocked right now so that she can be well prepared. And as we prepare for baptisms in Advent, as a community, we celebrate what it means to remind ourselves for the coming of Christ. We're going to make some promises. We're going to promise that as a community, that peace that we're beginning to experiment with, we're going to keep teaching her as well. Not just once, but we're going to continue to keep teaching her because we need to remind ourselves and we need to teach it to her as well. We commit to teaching her as a community how to live as a child of God by modeling our lives after Jesus. As we wait and prepare together, we hear the call of the prophet. John the Baptist and Malachi have been calling to us. Peace is not a far-off possibility. We know there are plans and designs on the future and into the future. But we need some visible signs of peace that sometime is moving forward. You and I need to see orange road cones and construction equipment to know that this isn't just a suggestion, but an actuality. God is moving. Peace is visible. Jesus Christ is Lord, who was and is and always will be. Because this, my friends, is the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.